Welcome to the Truman Charities Podcast. I am Jamie Truman, your host. Did you know that 6.5 million dogs and cats per year are sent to shelters? I spoke with France Bognan from Pet Connect Rescue about how they are saving dogs from kill shelters and placing them into their forever homes. We discussed the exact process from receiving a dog from the shelter and how they assess their temperament, get them bedding that they need, and place them into a foster home and ultimately into their forever home. We also discussed how incredibly important it is to have foster homes for these dogs. Also, some really fun events that they have, such as yappy hours and puppy yoga, which I will definitely be planning to attend. I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Hi, France. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, I want to know a little bit about your background and why you decided to become so involved with Pet Connect Rescue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story, but I guess I've always been obviously very passionate about animals. I was one of those kids that would kind of find animals and bring them home and beg my parents to let them stay. And I somehow was very convincing, and we ended up with quite a many animals, from horses and cats to dogs to whatever it was that I found outside. And I started really missing it when I went to university. And I was in law school in DC, and I was the president of the Student Animal Legal Defense Fund, which is the student body of a major national, basically legal operation that protects animals across the US. And I was really missing dogs. I didn't have any animals. So I started fostering. And I worked with an organization in DC called Canine Lifesavers and another one called Lucky Dog. And I was fostering, and then I kind of got hooked on fostering, and then I became an adoption coordinator. And it really was just a really quick roll from there. And I met someone who was leaving to go to Pet Connect Rescue, and I connected with them, and they said, come with us and join this amazing and small organization that really prioritizes the animals. It's not about numbers. It was about quality. And I think that was about 12 years ago. And I've been with them ever since. So it's been a beautiful journey, though.
Yeah, I was reading on your website, which I was kind of floored about, that 6.5 million dogs and cats per year are sent to shelters, which is kind of mind-boggling. So I want to know, and we're going to get a little bit into what exactly fostering is and the adoption process and all of that. Can you tell me maybe some stories of some animals that you've worked with through Pet Connect?
Oh gosh, there are so many. I think
hard question.
I'm an adoption coordinator, which means that I have my hands on a lot of animals, right? So I'm responsible for getting them out of the shelter, and we can maybe touch on that later. But I'm also a foster, and so that's where you get to know the animals the best. And I will say it's been quite an incredible journey because, as I said, I started fostering kind of in my early 20s. I got married, I bought a house, I have three children, and I've fostered all the way through. So every single one of my kids, my babies, came home from the hospital with a foster dog here. And so they've kind of learned the process from the beginning. And there's just so many stories along the way. I mean, there's been seniors, there's been hip surgeries, there's been three-legged dogs. I think one of my favorite ones was early on. It was right before we had kids. I think I was pregnant with my first. And this dog got off of the transport, which is when the dogs are moved from the shelter up to rescue. And she was going home with a foster, and the foster came to pick her up. And I'm looking at the dog, and I was a little bit new to rescue, and I could tell her belly was quite big. And I was like, this doesn't look quite right. And I'm like, I think this dog might be pregnant. And you could almost feel the puppies in her belly. And the foster was like, no, I signed up for a four-year-old dog, not a mama that's about to have puppies. So I, having no idea what I was doing, but having just committed to this animal already, was like, okay, I'll take her home. So I show up with her. You can imagine how my husband felt about me coming home with a pregnant dog, having no experience. So we waited a couple of days. I made some phone calls. I tried to figure out what you do with a baby, with a mom that's about to birth. And one day I came home and I couldn't find her anywhere. And I'm like, Salma, where are you? And I finally hear a kind of like, you know, like little puppy noises, which I'll save you and not make for you here. And I find her in my husband's closet on his laundry pile. Oh, she had just given full birth.
Of course, in your husband's closet.
Of course, it was my husband's closet. All the places to find her. And I told him, I'm like, listen, if you were better about picking up your laundry, it might not have been an option for her, right? So it's not her fault, exactly. So I thought that was, you know, there are a ton like that. There's one we fostered who, he looked like Benji and, you know, the really cute kind of scruffy Benji.
Yeah.
He was afraid of his own shadow. And I swear the dog couldn't, like, my friend has this funny story of, I asked my friend to come over and let him out one day when I was at work, and the dog got out and wouldn't come back in. Mm-hmm. So my friend, who's trying to do me a big favor, had to hide, keep the door open, stand behind the door with an umbrella, and wait till the dog scooted in 20 minutes later, and then shut the door so that he could trap the dog inside. I mean, this dog was petrified. He was with us for over 6 months before he got adopted. You can imagine, Jamie, the tears.
Yeah, that must be hard. I mean, it's such a great thing to find a forever home for these animals, but I guess it is sort of a hard transition from you since you get attached to them too. We talked about fostering a lot. Let's talk about a little bit about that process with Pet Connect Rescue.
Yeah, I mean, I think ours is very similar to most others, and it's quite easy. Essentially, you have to be willing to open up your home and treat an animal like they're your own, right? But also recognize that there's a transition period that's going to happen. And I think a lot of people, it's hard because a lot of people put human emotions on the animals, right? They anthropomorphize. And so you'll get this scared dog that comes in from the shelter. And so people will kind of coddle it and, oh, it's okay. And you don't really have to do anything and just stay in your corner. Really what that animal needs is a pack leader. Really what they need is someone who's going to give them structure, who's going to be really strong and who's going to say, come on, get out of your shell. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to be afraid of anymore because there's no harm here. So I think the foster process, it's very rewarding, but there's also some challenges. You know, it's a learning process. But the actual, like, the actual procedure itself, you submit an application online. You go through a quick interview, like a phone conversation with an amazing volunteer that we have who kind of runs our foster onboarding. You do a vet check if you have current animals. And then you do a virtual home visit, and everything can happen in a day. It's really quick. And then you get an animal. I mean, we are always in need of fosters. So I would say we jump on any foster application. And I think part of why we are in such need of fosters is, and Jamie, I haven't run the statistics on this, but I will. Okay. That I would imagine that we probably lose 75%, if not more, of our fosters to adoptions. So they foster one time, the dog comes into their house, they can't let it go because you get attached. And then they decide, I can't foster because I just can't give them up. And I get that because it is tough. At the same time, every time that you close your home to a foster, that's another animal that's euthanized, right? Because we can't actually get them out of the shelter, assess their temperament, get them the vetting they need, and move them into adoption homes until they can get fosters. So you really need that revolving door of fosters, and you need fosters who are willing to foster multiple. It's a lot of work and effort that goes into onboarding the fosters. So when they just do it one time, you're like, oh, well, that was a lot of work for just nothing. And then they no longer take dogs. So we're really looking for fosters who can work that angle of recognizing that the emotional relationship will be there, but the value add that they have to that animal and to the whole process of saving animals, dogs and cats, is much higher if they can continue to welcome animals in. And I think on that note is just, you know, everyone thinks and feels this immense connection with an animal. I mean, do you have animals, Jamie?
No, but I grew up like you were saying about yourself growing up, like a million animals.
A million. Yeah. So many. You die, one day I'll retire and live on a big farm where I can have them all around me. But, you know, you feel this emotional connection. And I think that it's incredibly important that exists. However, animals rebound in an incredible way, right? And they're able to actually form bonds after they leave the foster home. And that's the only thing that makes rescuing possible, right? If animals couldn't live in the present and form new connections with new people that are just as strong as before, rescuing wouldn't be feasible, right? Because they'd all be so scarred from what happened to them before they got into the shelter or in the shelter.
Right.
So we work really hard in trying to have fosters understand that actually, yes, you feel that connection and the animal does love you, but they will reform, right? And they will rebond. Right. So don't worry. You're not the last option for that animal. Let him be adopted. And then you can do that. You can open up another animal's heart, basically.
That's a great way of looking at it. Yeah, that is such a great way of looking at it. And so what I want to do is go back in the process. Where does Pet Connect, where do you get your animals? Like what shelters? And then what's kind of the process from shelter to either fostering, or are there some animals that just go straight to adopting?
So we have several shelter partners, mm-hmm. and we pull from mainly high kill shelters, but kill shelters, right? Where they are forced to euthanize if they don't get the animals out. So most of them euthanize for space, not necessarily for behavior. So we have partners throughout West Virginia, Texas, South Carolina, Western Maryland, kind of a lot of the southern states.
Okay.
We also, Georgia, we also pull a couple of international. So we have dogs that come in from Korea, from Tunisia, from Egypt. Yeah, the conditions and the situations there are absolutely appalling. And as crazy as this sounds, because they fundraise for the vetting costs there in country, it's cheaper to fly the animals over here in many cases than it is to completely vet. So that's all the vaccines, spay, neuter, and microchip to completely vet an animal in the US. So financially, yeah. And vetting costs since COVID are like through the roof.
In your opinion, why do you think that is?
Well, I think just inflation, all costs have gone up.
So everything.
But then also a lot of people got animals during COVID, right? Because they were home. And it like surged. And so both rescues, but also people bought animals. And so as a result, vets are just in super high demand. I mean, it's hard to find an orthopedic surgeon for a vet. Like I swear, I'm going to leave the whole law thing, which is my real job. And I'm going to go to vet school and come back and take care, provide service to all these animals. Right now to get a dog in for a vaccine, you could be months.
Really?
So it's getting a little bit better. It's plateauing. Yeah, but it's pretty tough. So when they come abroad, we really do try and vet the animals before they come into our care. And then we have some animals that come owner surrenders, right? A lot of people in COVID bought animals, people who lived in apartments and bought Labradoodles thinking it'd be super fun. But then the puppy grows up and now has boundless energy and wants to play and engage. And it's just tough. So we help a lot of people who find themselves in difficult positions. There are hoarding cases, right? That we take directly from, I will spare you the gory details, but some really horrific situations. So basically we get, you know, I've been doing this for almost 15 years. So a lot of people have my number and my email address and they reach out with a situation, or our shelter contacts reach out and say, we have some great dogs. They do temperament testing there. We want to make sure they're good with people, good with other animals. You know, some are better, everybody's got their kind of tweaks, but basically they identify an animal. We, as a team, we'll look and assess, is this one that we think we can bring into our rescue? We commit, and then we work really hard to find a foster for them in kind of the Virginia, Maryland, DC area. And only once we have a committed foster can we then bring the animal up. Now, if that's from Texas, I had a transport come up from Texas last weekend, took them over 2 days to get here because of traffic and a breakdown of the truck. But normally, 24 hours, the animals come from Texas, from Georgia, from Mississippi, they come up here. And then we kind of have a wonderful, you know, it's kind of a neat experience when the fosters come and you open up the doors of the van and you see the dogs all in there and it's quite smelly. But you take them out and you know that you've changed their life forever. And it's an incredibly rewarding experience. And then that's like where it all begins, right? Then they go into foster home and then you're learning about them and what kind of qualities they have. Do they need another dog? Do they love kids? Like I have a foster puppy right now, adores my children, adores my 18-month-old. Nobody likes 18-month-old. I mean, babies, like they're so hyper and high energy and this puppy thinks they're the best thing in the world. So what's cool is now I can advertise that puppy is great with children. So a family that's looking, right? A family with young kids can say, oh, this dog has already lived in a home with kids. This will work for us.
Well, it sounds really important for the foster families to give you that feedback. So then it makes it easier for the adoption process to pair that animal with the correct forever home.
Exactly. 100%. And I think that's a big thing that distinguishes rescues from shelters. Mm-hmm. And shelters are critical. We couldn't do our work without them, right? And they provide an incredible service to the state. But the wonderful part about the rescues is that the animals are actually in foster care. So you get to know that animal in and out, right? And so you get to be wiser in terms of how you're placing that animal for success. And then for the families that are looking, there's a higher likelihood that it's going to be a match.
Oh, fantastic. So I want to talk about some of your events. I was looking through and I saw Yappy Hours, which I don't know what that is, but it sounds really fun. And some of the events that maybe in particular that you have loved that Pet Connect Rescue offers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Yappy Hours are fun. Basically, it's like a fun, have cocktails with your dog. We also do something super cool, which is puppy yoga. So it's yoga classes with a litter of puppies, right? So you're like down dog and you've got the puppies coming in and out of your arms. So that's really fun. We also just had in May of 2023, our first, it's called Race to the Rescue. Mm-hmm. And basically it's a 5K fundraiser where people can come and run with their dogs and basically just be able to get out in the community and have fun with your pups and on a beautiful May day. And yeah, again, socialize and get exposure. I mean, all these animals need is exposure. So mm-hmm. we're trying to get them seen in as many places as possible. And then for them to kind of get used to that. So you can tell like, oh, is this animal afraid of dump trucks or runners or wheelchairs or whatever it is? And how do we help them to gain confidence in those new spaces?
If someone's interested in either fostering or adopting, how do they go about doing that? And then also if someone, you know, anybody listening that is like, I would love to foster or adopt an animal, but it's just right now, say I live in a small apartment. It's just not something that I can do, but I still want to help Pet Connect. How can they get involved in your organization?
A, we have foster dogs that go into apartments, so it's possible. Obviously, it's a lot easier with a yard. But first and most important thing would be going to our website, which is www.petconnectrescue.org. And then following us on social media, which is really important because we have some great volunteers who do a lot. So our Instagram is Rescue Pet Connect. Our Twitter is @PetConnectRescue with no E at the end. And then you can just Google, you know, Facebook is Pet Connect Rescue. So those are all really good ways to get involved. On our website, there is a volunteer submission. So there's an application form for a foster, application form to be an adopter, and an application form to volunteer. So if you can't foster, there are so many places that we need you. Basically, come to us with what your skill set is. Like, are you good at taking pictures? Great. We need volunteers who can go around and take pictures. Do you have a car and you're willing to help the dogs get from transport to their foster home or to vet appointments? That would be awesome. Are you good at making phone calls? Right? We need people who can help us do vet checks and home visits. Do you like social media? Or like, a big thing right now that I would love to have that we don't have volunteers for is we have a lot of dogs who've been in the system for a while, right? Like 6 months and they're still in foster homes. We'd love to get some volunteers who might be like video or photo or, I don't know, TikTok savvy. I'm not on TikTok. Right. My nieces and nephews show me how cool it is. Can you create a video with some music of this animal that's been in our care for a while and help us just get them out there, right? And show them in this new light. So there's a million ways to volunteer. And then of course, donating, right? I'm a volunteer. We're all volunteers who commit our time to making sure that these animals aren't euthanized just for lack of space. So just reach out and we'll find a way to engage you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, France, for taking the time to talk with me today. But before I let you go, is there anything we haven't covered that you think somebody should know?
Oh my gosh. I mean, we've covered a lot. And thank you so much for this opportunity, Jamie. I think the most important thing is you come with passion, right? And if you have the heart, right, and you want to commit, we will find a way to help channel that into something good. There's a lot of amazing animals out there who just don't have an advocate, right? They don't have the voice that they need. And so we just need more people who are willing to commit their time and energy. And if that's one weekend a month, then that's great, right? So just please be willing to come forward and don't be nervous. Don't say, oh, I don't have the time, because you don't know where you can fit the time, or I live in an apartment, or, you know, I don't have this knowledge. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if you have the heart, we'll find a way for you to be able to put that to good use.
Oh, well, thank you so much again for talking with me today. I learned so much about your rescue and I love it. And you guys are just such a wonderful group of volunteers. And I can't believe you have all of these small little kids and you're still fostering all of these animals too. You're better than I am.
it's a little chaotic. I will say it's a little chaotic at the house, but I think it's a good thing for the kids. I think that they're learning a really amazing part of life by donating their own time right now at this young age. So hopefully.
I 100% agree with you. Little kids and learning about dogs and being around them and things like that. It's so good for them and it's so cute to watch.
You got a lot of good photos, at the very least.
Very least good photos. All right. Well, thank you again, France. And then I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Truman Charities Podcast. Until next time. If you liked this episode, please make sure to rate and review our podcast. That is how more people learn about the Truman Charities Podcast and our organization. And to make sure you don't miss any of our future episodes, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you'd like to follow Truman Charities, you can follow us on Facebook at Truman Charities, Instagram at Jamie_Truman Charities, and check out our website, trumancharities.com.